Welcome to the Monsters and Treasure Podcast, where we talk way too long about a topic, but only give you the best parts. I'm K.R. King of D&D Homebrew, here with Daniel Norton of Bandit's Keep. How are we doing today, Daniel?
I'm just counting my darkness points.
Can't wait to use them.
So, K.R., I was thinking about metacurrency. So I think we both kind of have the same feel about the inspiration mechanic maybe not being the best. You know, we can dig into that a little bit, but the way 5e does it. But also just metacurrency in the sense of, so for instance, in Call of Cthulhu, you have luck that you can use to modify rolls. In DCC, you have luck that you can modify rolls with. In some games like the 2d20 system, you get momentum that you can build it with. And the other thing that where I see metacurrency quite a bit that I've used more than any of these is in some of the free league games where you can effectively re-roll things. So that's kind of your metacurrency, but it gives the GM currency to use against you, if you will. And the idea that like, so I'll say it first. So let me just explain it because you haven't played Coriolis. So for in Coriolis, for instance, when the players fail a roll, they can choose to besiege the icons, and there's different kinds of icons. There's like the gambler and the, you know, it's not Kenny Rogers, but, you know, that kind of stuff. And basically, if they do that, they get to reroll dice, and they may succeed or not. They can do it once. And when they do that, the GM gets a darkness point. And this darkness point can be used for various things that happen in the game. And at first, I bounced off of it because the idea is that, like, literally, this is the rule. This is not my interpretation. There's things you cannot do without these darkness points. So, for instance, I can't have, like, let's say that I've got guards and they're guarding this room and there's some backup guards three rooms down. I can't have the reinforcements come without spending a darkness point. So if I don't have any, I can't do that. If the enemy runs out of bullets, they can't reload without me using a darkness point. And there's other, there are various other things. Things that a GM would just do, right? Like, it basically takes that power, if you will, or freedom, or however you want to say it, away from the GM and puts it in this mechanic that locks that the and in theory you're supposed to be playing in person, obviously, and you lay these little points, like, in, you know, represented by something in front of your screen, right, so that the players know how many of these points they have, how you have, right? This is the idea of it. It's supposed to be this, like, kind of mental thing where the players can see it and they're like, oh man, we got to be careful about how many rerolls we use because the GM now has these points that they can use against us. So, you know, I at first I hated it, to be honest with you, on paper. But then as I played it, it wasn't bad. There is something interesting about this restriction to the GM and knowing that you have to do a certain thing in order to use these points. And that can kind of in some ways be liberating because it doesn't make you feel like you're, oh man, the player characters are doing really terrible. I shouldn't do anything. I guess you could still choose not to do it. But because you can't, if you have the points, you can do it, right? They kind of dug their own grave, if you want to put it that way.
Well, it's interesting because we've talked about inspiration and how the aspect I don't mind at all in Pathfinder, they call it hero points. You have inspiration and they tell you what they can use them for to change your role. You can't certain things you can't change or whatever. And you can make decisions if you want homebrewing. But I like a mechanic that I can change a role. It's just another aspect of. You're gamifying all sorts of things. There's all sorts of mechanics in the game that you're doing, and this is just another one to do that. So it doesn't bother me. I don't like the idea of rewarding them because then it turns into favoritism, or you made me laugh. We've talked about that. Ha-ha, and I'll give you an inspiration. I've seen that a million times, and I hate that when I'm playing because I just think it should be for something in the game heroic that was really inventive or whatever, and half the time I'm thinking that wasn't that interesting. Or then I think of things that people do that's really interesting and they don't give them an inspiration.
Right.
So I like it when it's a mechanic. I like it when it's something like pushing your role. Like I've read the Free League. I think it's Forbidden Lands where they have that they call pushing the role or whatever. And you do a thing. It's not praying to gods, but it's something else. And you can reroll dice, but the GM then gets the doom points. I think no doom is in the D20 system or 2D20. Right. And I like the idea of you taking that chance, but knowing that the GM is going to get these points. And I believe you can also get, like you said, momentum. Mm-hmm. And I think, is it heat in Coriolis or something, or heats might be in another system, no. But, so I like it. I just don't like it when it's rewarded haphazardly. And I don't like it, when it's misapplied. You know, you got to, like you said, I think this is good in Coriolis where they have these restraints on you to say, this is what you, you know, in terms of not being able to do stuff as a GM, but also limits on what you can do. Because the one thing that makes me nervous, and this goes back to something we've talked about many times, if the GM, if you don't have a good GM and they're going to use these doom points to do something that is clearly like, wait a minute, what is this? And they hide behind the doom point, right? They hide behind the meta currency. Look, this is meta. This is very powerful. That makes me nervous. Just like what you have to have very defined, this is what you can do with an inspiration and this is what you can't. You should have that too in a meta currency thing. Because I just don't want to see that becoming. On the other hand, I love the idea. I've seen Seth Sokolowski, if that's how you pronounce his name, but he does he used to do podcasts about his Conan 2D20 system where he said the players would look at those doom chips, those little things mounting, and he had a little thing in front of his screen, and they would get very nervous because they knew doom is coming. You know, he's going to use these.
Right.
And so there is something like we are pushing our luck. You're mechanizing the thing about you just, if you keep pushing it, if you keep, it's just like in sports, if you keep going for it on fourth down, you're going to get burned. If you keep throwing the deep bomb, someone's going to intercept it eventually. So that I like. It's kind of mechanizing that, pushing your luck. So I'm not opposed to it just as long as it's under certain strictures.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. Again, at first, because being the kind of person I am, like I feel like, and I know that I'm not everyone. You know, I feel like I am as fair as I could possibly be. And I don't, you know, have the twin brother in the next room that the players beat my big boss. So, like, I don't do that. So I don't need a rule to make me play better. So, I, you know, and in some ways it was like, I don't need that, you know. You know, but again, you have to take every game for what they are. And I do think that the fact, I would tell people in Coriolis because we were playing online so they couldn't see it. But I do think the fact, because I did play the Conan game in person, that they can see the physical thing on the table does make this certain sense of doom impending, right? They can see it there. Another thing I liked about, and I'm no expert in the Conan game, but I only played the quick start rules. But I think that when you're doing this momentum thing, if I'm not mistaken, like you can like either use it yourself, or if you don't use it, you can put it into a pile. So if you didn't need all of it, right, you can put it into this pile in the middle of the table, and then other people from your group can use it, which I really like. I love this idea that like narratively, you have set somebody up for a cool move. So you did this thing and it got you an extra momentum. And now it's on the table. So the next person who wasn't in a great spot now can use those momentums to get their better score, right? Something to that effect. I mean, I'm probably not explaining it exactly perfect, but I like this idea of it. I really do. I wonder like, okay, so there was this conversation because I had it completely wrong and that it was rectified by people who actually knew the rules and explained it, where I was confused about how pushing in Call of Cthulhu worked. And I didn't love it because I thought that what it meant was you just take this risk and you just get to reroll. But that's actually not what it is. In Call of Cthulhu, if you fail something, so let's say that you're trying to intimidate somebody and you fail that roll, you can push it. But you cannot just go, I'm going to push the roll. You have to say what you are doing differently. And you can even change the skill if you want. You'd be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to try to sweet talk him instead. But then you roll again. And then if you fail, there's like a major issue if it happens, like something bad happens. And I believe that the keeper's supposed to tell you what that thing would be too, so you have like an idea. But I like the idea that it's in the player's hands. I think that's part of it too. It comes down a little bit to your idea of like not being willy-nilly, like, oh, I like the way you made me laugh, so you get it. It's like the players decide, right? Do I want to use my luck? Because if you burn luck in Call of Cthulhu to make something succeed, you have less luck. And you roll luck a lot when like, you know, who gets hit by the car? Everybody make a luck roll. You know, it's like you don't want to have no luck, right? So I think that that putting it in the hands of the players works, and also making it so that it's not just time rewound and you can do something different. Rather, it changes. Because again, if you use inspiration the right way, that meaning the way the rules are written, which is not how people use it usually, you're supposed to use it before you make a roll. But most people don't do that. Like when I've seen people use inspiration, they fail and then they go, I'm going to use inspiration to reroll. Now all of a sudden it's like you're rolling back the clock, and that feels a little off to me. But if you use it because it's like, I'm motivated and I'm going to use my inspiration now because I need to make this roll, that makes more sense to me.
I don't, you know, I have never seen anybody. So you're saying, and I would have to look at the 5e thing, like you say, you declare before a big strike,
that's right,
I'm going to use inspiration and whatever happens, I'm going to roll again. I have never seen that done. So I'd have to look at that. Apparently that's the roll. What I've always
seen. No, you don't roll again. Inspiration allows you to roll with advantage. That's what inspiration does. So that means you have to state it before you.
I have never seen anybody.
Yeah, nobody does it that way, right, but that's how it's supposed to work.
That doesn't seem to be a very effective thing at all. To be able to.
It works better in the fiction.
What's that?
Tell me why you don't think so. I think it works better in the fiction, so I think this is good.
I'm going along, and I'm in a battle, and I'm trying to make a saving throw. And what you're saying is you have one inspiration point the entire session, and I have to decide at that point whether or not I need advantage in this roll. And so I do it, and I roll twice, and I make it both times. Or I roll twice, and I fail. Okay. As opposed to, I've got to make this deadly roll. I fail, and I know I've got this one inspiration, but we've got two or three hours left in the session. But this is deadly. I can't afford not to. Do I use it or do I don't? What do I do here? Okay, I'm going to use it. And then I make it. Oh, I did it. Yeah. And I'm not just choosing a die. I made that decision to use the inspiration. I roll. I made it. Everyone goes, I failed anyway. Okay, but at least I tried. As opposed to, I got to make that decision before I roll. I don't like that. I like the drama of, I've got to make that. I failed and I've got to decide, do I use my inspiration or do I wait? Is this the time I use it or not?
So okay, let me use your same logic just to explain it.
Okay.
So I'm in a tough situation. I've been hit by a gaze from a Medusa. And if I had a DC 15 will save and I have a 10 will with no bonus, and it's like, do I use my inspiration because I don't want to be turned to stone, or do I not use it because it's 2 hours left in the session? It's exactly the same thing. In your case, they fail, and then somehow they go, I'm turning to stone. Oh, no, I'm not. Whereas in my case, they either turn to stone or they don't. So in the fiction, you're not stopping the fiction. I do get the whole, I'm rolling again, now I succeed.
Well, you're adding advantage to the fiction. So you're changing the fiction. I got two rolls instead of one.
No, but I'm not changing what happened. You failed, and now you're changing it to a success. Whereas in my case, you either failed or you didn't. Like, you're not redoing the roll. And I know that in the end, the stats are the same. And what you're saying is, and I don't disagree with you, that at the table, being able to just roll again feels cooler. But I'm saying in the fiction, it doesn't, because you failed. Like, you saw the Medusa. So then what happened? You didn't see her? Like, what happens in the fiction? Where did this? Because it's never, I failed. Oh, I'll roll again. I have an inspiration. It's, I failed. Then 5 minutes later, you rolled the die for the inspiration. Well, I'm exaggerating 5 minutes. But so it's never like the fiction is you're re-rolling. You're changing what happened as opposed to modifying the roll before it happens. The same is true in DCC with luck. It's the same in Call of Cthulhu with luck. All that's true. All of this is true, but I don't love that. I like when you don't change the fiction.
So here's interesting is a 5e rule that you like better than all these other systems, because all the other ones just clearly make it, you just get to change reality. You get to just decide. And again, to me, I get what you're saying, and in a sort of technical sense about my stopping time or whatever, but we're sitting around a table playing a game. So to me, it doesn't bother me that much. Because of the drama of, are you going to use inspiration? Because there's a thing, hero points in Pathfinder, for example. I play in all these different campaigns. And when it comes up and someone has to make that decision, are you going to use a hero point? And they're deciding. And if you're in a group and that person is doing something that's going to affect the entire group, not just their character's life or death, but we could be screwed. If you don't make this roll, we're screwed. And they're sitting there and they say, you know what? Because how they have it in Pathfinder is you can use a hero point to stabilize if you're killed. And that can be a big deal.
Because
if you're just go to zero, you're unconscious. So you've always got that in your back pocket until you use that hero point. So it comes down to the whole group is saying, are you going to use it or not? Not just you preemptively saying, well, I'm going to use it here. And everyone goes, oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is a critical role with the Medusa. I can see why you're using it. But it doesn't have that drama of the group and the player, and you're losing your stabilization and all that stuff. But again, it just depends on what you want. I mean, I just like that. But and a lot of games use it, the luck roll, that you don't burn luck in DCC, because DCC, of course, has that. You don't get it back unless you're a thief and a halfling. So, but nobody would ever expect you to burn luck before you made the roll, right? Because
why would you?
Luck is so valuable. So again, I guess it just depends on the system. But to me, I just like that.
Right.
The meta currency thing is a chance. it's a meta. The reason they say meta currency is it's outside the game.
Right.
It's a thing that you have this, it's sitting there in front of you. You don't have that in real life. You don't get a reroll. You don't get a chance to do that. Mm-hmm. So in this case, or an advantage, I don't get advantage in terms of what I do in real life. And a lot of people say that takes them out of immersion. What do you think of that kind of argument that I hate meta currency because I'm not immersed in the world, and maybe because of what you're saying with the, it's better, there's more immersion in the fiction if you have to make that choice beforehand, but a lot of systems, that's not the way it works. Do you feel like it does reduce immersion, meta currency?
Yeah, I think it does on a little level. I mean, again, I'm not a super heavy immersion person, so it's not a huge deal for me. I think that when you're playing out the fiction, that once you make that, I think the drama of the dice is diminished when you can just roll it again. It's maybe the better way for me to say it. Because again, in Call of Cthulhu, if I roll and I fail, I don't get to re-roll. I can adjust the roll using my luck, which then hurts me later, right? Same in DCC. I don't get to re-roll when I use my luck. It just adjusts the roll. So of course, you can't choose how much luck to use before you roll because you don't know what you need, right? But mm-hmm. Let's say DCC, a spell burn, you got to choose first. So that is a different mechanic. And I think that makes sense because if you're going to spell burn, you're supposed to be doing something to do it, right? So it's like, all right, I'm going to cut myself or I'm going to, you know, I had this one player that used to burn themselves with I don't know how it was always hot, but they had like a hot iron or whatever, you know, like because it's supposed to be damaging yourself, right? So you're doing all this stuff, sticking pins in your face or whatever. Because you're taking, the reason why I say that to people who don't know DCC is it removes from a physical stat. So you got to hurt yourself in some way. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense in the fiction that you got to cut yourself before you cast a spell. The luck is a meta currency that steps outside the game, right? And I don't love it, but I like it better than re-rolling because I feel like re-rolling is changing what happened, right? You rolled and you failed. So that's it. You made the choice. You did the thing you did. You rolled, you failed. If I re-roll it, then I don't automatically succeed, right? So in some ways, re-rolling kind of is terrible because I needed a 15. I rolled an 8. So I get to use my inspiration. I roll again. I roll a 10. At least with the other burning of luck, you succeed. You know you're going to. It's like, all right, I made the sacrifice and I succeed. Now, if a hero point allowed you to just automatically succeed at the minimum level, I think I'd be better. I mean, it'd be way powerful, of course, obviously, but I think that would almost make more sense to me fiction-wise. I mean, that's really what I'm talking about. And again, I'm talking up in the clouds here. Like, I don't really care because I'm not a super immersion person. We're talking more RPG theory here. But that's just how I feel about, like, if I was going to use those things in my game. Like, it would be something that I wouldn't want to change what actually happened when you rolled the dice. I don't love the reroll. This is, I guess, my basic, which again, in Coriolis, there's a reroll, so I don't love that. But you have to, proceed to the icons or pray or whoever wants to say it, and you have to do something else. You don't just hit then. It's like if you're shooting a gun, you miss, and then you just get to take another shot, and then you burn your point, and your shot may hit or not. You know, that's basically what it is. It's not like the magic bullet that comes around.
I think what that points to is that there's this, it gets more sophisticated, right? When you mm-hmm. start thinking about, well, what is a meta currency and how can we use this such that we don't just run into the, okay, I want to reroll that. And I got one reroll per session. And that's what it turns into.
Yeah.
So you're saying, okay, well, if you're going to push your luck, if you're going to do something, there's a, whether it's doom points for the GM or there's characteristics that you have to hurt yourself or you have to, you know, lose your luck, which you only have a limited amount of. And okay, there's penalties to that. Whereas mm-hmm. with the hero point system or the inspiration, it's just an extra chit that you get one reroll per game, very specific rerolls that you can get.
Right.
And it becomes dramatic, as I say, because part of that is the stabilization thing. If you're playing in a game where people die, right? If you're playing in a game where nobody ever dies, then you don't worry about it as much. So I can see that I think other systems handle it better or in a more sophisticated or interesting way or something like that. And I can totally buy into that. All I know is as a player, when I play in those games, and then as a GM, where I just tend to give people one in 5e, everybody gets an inspiration point. I know as they love having that inspiration point. They love having that chance. If I'm in a deadly tight situation as a game, just like I'm going around on a board and I land on go to jail in Monopoly and I get one, I got a card that says, don't go to jail, go to pass go and collect $200. That's great. I've got that card. I'm holding it. I'm waiting. Do I go into jail? I could sell it to somebody, of course, in 5e, you can't sell inspiration, but you know what I'm saying. It's part of the game. It's part of the construct of the game. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah. So, and to me, I watch players have fun with that. I think, oh, it might be better to have a more sophisticated one like you have in some of these other systems you're talking about. And I want to play, I have the Conan 2D20, so we've talked about that. You have the starter set. I have the rules. I have the player's handbook or the guide. I have got one of those jeweled things. And then it went out of business, and now you can't get it anywhere, and nobody's supporting it online, you know, like the VTT systems. And so it's kind of this dead system out there. I wish there was, you know, because I just want to see how that works, because I've always heard basically from Seth, and I don't know if you, when you played the starter set, if that currency came in at all or how much that made into the game.
Oh, no,
it was huge. I just like to see how it works.
And what I did was, I think I might have got this recommendation from the starter set, or maybe I watched a video where somebody said, instead of using chits or whatever, use little pieces of candy. And what I would do is every time I'd use a darkness point, I would eat it. So I'd be like, oh, they're going to re-roll or whatever. And I would eat the candy. You know, it was fun. I mean, it's a really fun system for that. Like, I think that there's a certain, okay, so in going back to the inspiration thing for a second, at conventions, because you played in some of my games, I give a chip out and they can use it to re-roll any die. And I actually allow, it's powerful. Any die. I'd always say it like that. Any die. Usually people catch on to that. And that's very powerful. And I've had people, it's funny, and they can keep doing it. So if the table wants to just keep, I'll throw my chip in. Because it's a convention, and it's 4 hours, and it doesn't matter the long term, right? So, but I think if you're playing a game that's long term, like a Call of Cthulhu campaign or DCC, it should matter that you're using these things. Like, I think that's maybe that's where I lean on this. I like the idea of it being a choice the player must make that really has true consequences in the game. I think if you automatically get a hero point every game session, and I know that you're saying you can resurrect yourself or whatever, but okay, fine. But in 5e, you can't, right? So if you just get one every session, all it's really doing is just giving somebody an extra roll, which can be really fun at the table, but I don't know why. There's no reason to not use it, right? There's no choice there. You're always going to use it when you fail a roll that you want to succeed, which I would imagine is most rolls, right? I will also point out that when I played 5e in my campaign for over 3 years, I never used inspiration. I just didn't use it. I didn't like the mechanic. I didn't use it. I don't like mechanics that it's arbitrary. I think if I had some of the advice I've seen people talk about, like you get inspiration when you roll a natural one or something, maybe I would do that, because I think mechanizing it is a better way to go about it. There's two parts, right? There's the mechanizing of how you get it, and then there's the execution of how you use it. My preference would be the execution should make sense in the fiction. That is, if you push a roll, you should have to do the thing again, right? So you're hanging off the cliff and you fail your strength athletic check. You don't just roll at, you know, so you start to fall. You don't just roll and you didn't fail it. It's like you fall 5 feet down and you grab a branch, right? So something happened in the fiction. And I know this is not anything beyond just role play, really. But I think that if you do that, it makes more sense to me, right? And I think I like it when it's more mechanized as to how people get it. That is, you get it by doing a thing in the game that's a mechanical thing that you can do that's not arbitrary based on the GM or some other player. I think those are the two things, my standards for what I think makes the, I'm air quoting, best metacurrency in my mind.
Yeah, and since in 5e they don't have that, and you could certainly create something like you've talked about, we roll a one or something like that.
Right.
You could do that. To me, it's just a simple thing where you just get 1 point. And then the other thing is, you could certainly say, because here's the question. If I'm hanging on a cliff and I'm going to fall 200 feet, you could calculate the damage or however far it is. Like, I could be dead. It's really deadly. I fail this check, whether it's a strength check or however you're doing it, and I pull out my inspiration. If you roll it again and you fail, it's not very interesting, right? So you could say in that situation, just what you're saying. You, instead of falling, you fall 5 feet and you grab a branch and you're okay. You're not going to fall. Then the other players have to come and grab you or do whatever. You're hanging on this branch, but you did it. You used your inspiration to change the outcome in such a way that I don't fall 200 feet. That's cool. I mean, that's a great idea. That's a great modification. Now, then you get into the idea that I got to do that in all these different situations and come up with something. And maybe it's really easy to do. I don't know, because people only get one per session in my game. So, and it's just kind of adding flavor to it, because it's an automatic success with that, Whereas when you have the reroll, there's a chance it could just fail. Or advantage. If you have advantage, then the way 5e is set up, apparently, you could still fail. So I'm going to use inspiration here, right? And so, you know, it just depends on how you want to play it. All I know is, by and large, I have never seen, maybe you're the one person, a player who says, nah, I don't like inspiration. I don't need an inspiration. But you guys all take one. That's not going to take it. Because they're just like, I get a reroll once per game. Okay, I'll take that. What the heck? Why not? I don't allow inspiration in my game. Okay, whatever. But I've seen inspiration because I saw it save a group one time. It was going to be a TPK. The guy missed. He used his inspiration because the whole group was going to die, and he hit the thing and it killed it, and that prevented the TPK. So it was one of the most dramatic uses of inspiration I'd ever seen. But it just happened to work out that way. Most of the time, it's pretty mundane, right? It's just, and sometimes you see people use it and you think, why are you using it there as a GM? You're like, okay. And that's up to them. You know, that's just their choice, and I'm not going to tell them whether to do it. Sometimes most players, if they're good players, they just sit there and go, I can't believe he's using it right now. But okay. Because this is meta currency. This is super valuable. And you're using it now, so it's up to the players to decide. And so for me, I like meta currency, but under those controls. And I think your ideas about making it more interesting, certainly that could be really cool.
Yeah, just to clarify, I just didn't get award inspiration in my game. I didn't ban it. I just never gave it out. So I guess I wasn't using it in that sense. And if I was playing the game as a player, I would never say I don't want one if everybody else has one. No, I would take inspiration. don't get me wrong. I just don't love the way that it's handled. I mean, there's two parts to it, right? First of all, nobody plays it the right way, and why is that, right? When you have a mechanic that's very clear, because 5e, say what you want about 5e, it's pretty darn clear about how things work. Giving a roll advantage is very clear as to how that should work. It doesn't say reroll, it says gives a roll advantage. What is advantage? You roll twice, take the best roll, right? That's how it works. There's no question. But it's so dumb because nobody, right? Like you say, people aren't going to do it. They're going to go, well, I need a 15 to hit. I'll probably hit. I got a +5 to hit. And then you miss. And then you're like, well, damn it. I could have used inspiration there. Let me use the inspiration, right? Now, I will say I've played in plenty of games where they use inspiration and I've seen it not work as many times as I've seen it work. I mean, it's basically right. That's the way the dice work. So it's not like you always succeed. And I'm not saying you should. I was just saying that like in some of those games like DCC, it would make you succeed. But there'd be a penalty.
Right, like it might fall off the cliff in 5e, you need to burn.
You would, if you failed the second time, you would just fall. I'd be like, you fall 5 feet, you grab another branch, it breaks, you die. I mean, that's just how it would be. That's how life is, right? I mean, that's like, but at the same time, maybe that gives you enough time, though, if some other player was like, well, hold on, if that slowed him down for a second, can I dimension door and grab them or throw floating disc under their foot? You know, whatever. Maybe I'd allow that, right? So maybe that bought them the time they needed. And that comes down to maybe a whole different podcast, because it's always good to end these with that, about like how do we adjust the fiction to work with the mechanics to make things work when somebody does something awesome, but maybe isn't it in the rules? Like how do we do that and when should we do it and so on? I think that could be an interesting podcast.
And the idea of calling something inspiration or calling something a hero point does make you think it should be something super dramatic and some change in reality, such that I like your idea of, okay, you're going to use inspiration. So like, let's just example. You're going to use a hero point, and so you or inspiration, and you fall 5 feet and you grab onto it. Okay, roll again because you're still pretend. And then in that moment, I'm going to use inspiration, and maybe you make it or maybe you don't, but the other players have an opportunity perhaps to do something if they're quick thinking. Because what I like to see with players is when they just say, you know what I'm going to do? I have this kind of ability or thing or I'm very dexterous or I'm whatever it is that you're doing. And especially if they tactically are positioning themselves in a way that's very advantageous to that. It isn't like I'm all the way over 200 feet away. Can I run over and grab him? Well, no. But if you're right there or something, and that's dramatic. Because it might be, okay, like that. There's a commercial where the guy's holding on to a guy in his hand and he's dangling over the edge of a building or something. And okay, now you're grabbed onto him, but you're just hanging there. And what are you going to do? You're going to try to lift him up. And so that becomes fun as opposed to just you make the roll, I climb out, or I fail the roll, you fall 200 feet, you're dead. So all those things go into the kind of game you're playing, the players you have. The meta currency can just be a way to facilitate dramatic, heroic, or however you want to call it, fiction or decisions and things the players make. and you're throwing that in there to give it a little juice. So I think that might be maybe the better way to do it.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear a voice on the show, give us a call. You can find all the ways to do that in the show notes. If you'd like to see more RPG content from us, you can find us both on YouTube, KR at D&D Homebrew, and myself at Bandits Keep. Those are also linked in the show notes. If you'd like to support the show, please give us a rating, ideally on Apple Podcasts, as it helps the show be seen by more people. And we'll see you next week.